We had a nice little example at lunch of the difficulty of why our minds trap us into the illusion of passing time and what's wrong with the world. It's so easy to fall back into it. And when they're sitting right there next to the speaker who've been telling them all weekend, and move right into it and not even know it. Okay? We're talking about Monsanto all of a sudden, and all of a sudden Rex goes, and he started rolling, you know, you know, and of course there's a long list, you know, of people that hate Monsanto.
Yeah, me.
And what should I say? What should my response be? What should my response be?
It's all projection of your mind.
No.
I'm not my body.
Exactly. You are not your body. This is the thing to get locked into. Now, listen. There's nothing wrong at all with what happened. It just shows you where we're programmed. We talk about the programming of the way we were growing up and how it's all wrong. I'm telling you, all of it's wrong. Now, you can never win an argument at that level when we start with that, because the list is a mile long, right? She always gets her brother all worked up when we go out because they love Monsanto, because he gets an extra few thousand dollars every year in his bank account because he uses their products. Because it's all about what? High yield. It's all about getting more bushels per acre. Okay, that's what it's about. It's all about more bushels per acre. And sometimes it's about money. But the whole point is we're off the point. The point isn't what's going on with Monsanto. The point isn't what's going on with anything. The point is you are not your body. And your projection of life through your body is trapping you in the illusion of passing time. It's trapping you in the illusion of right and wrong. Pick your mission, you know. Pick your favorite thing. I mean, go ahead. You'll never win an argument at the level of what you're arguing about. And so I just don't do that, because it's not what it's about. There's a million things that could be better, right? But we can't even get to the good side of the wrong tree. We're still trying to stamp out evil. You know, and Monsanto's evil. Now, if you work for them or you're a corn farmer, they're not evil at all. See? Nobody's ever going to win that kind of argument. So I'm glad it came up, because it's just a perfect example of how we get trapped on the wrong side of the wrong tree. Now, there's a good side to the wrong tree, too. And that one's a little tricky, too. But it's not so much running around saying it's an illusion. In this world of right and wrong, it's not an illusion. But what if the whole thing is a big dream of you floating around through this world? You're an eternal being. How long do you think 75, 80 years is? Huh? On the age of no time, it doesn't even exist. Right? Let's blow it up. Let's go up that big. Yeah. It's not It's not that we don't care. It's not that we aren't good stewards. It's you don't have control of what other people do. You can't control others. It's not about that. It's not about trying. It's about going out and taking care of your own roses and enjoying it. Okay? Just keep it to that. That's enough. You've got your hands full just with your own. Okay? Without going out into world news and bringing all that in. Okay? Now, I'm telling you by experience that I can help a lot more people by sharing a message of peace and joy than I can by going out with a picket sign against Monsanto. Yep. Okay? Now, what's funny, we bring that up, is we were down in Argentina, and somehow Diane and I were thinking it was all organic down there. And right after I had that thought, I popped up. We were riding the bus, and there's a huge Monsanto factory down in Argentina,
huge.
You know. Because they're a big agricultural country. They do a lot of growing down there. Now listen, go ahead. You know, it's okay. Knock your brains out. We're in a different room. Okay? We're in a totally different room. We're not in the room of who's right and who's wrong. We're talking about who are you? And how do you navigate yourself through this world? And there's 30 billion people in the world. Every one of them is trapped in the illusion of passing time. There isn't one of us sitting in this room that's excluded. Everyone. We're all affected by it. We're all been drawn in and put to sleep by it. Somehow thinking we're temporal beings in a body. And that particular thing is what determines what's going to happen for your next life and your next life and your next life. And that leads us right up into the subject today of karma and reincarnation. And before I want to get into that, and listen, if you struggle with any of this, just get with me, okay? I'll be glad to talk. I've got two people that's emailed me and said, I really want out of the reincarnation thing. Would you help me? And I'm hoping today, because today is officially the day of out of the frying pan and into the fire, okay? That's the title of the lesson today. And I'm glad I've done it, because I get asked about it a lot. Now I can just send people and say, well, go listen to this. Okay, and then get back to me, because it's sort of wearing me out. And we were talking about how this one gal that we were talking about at lunch today calls me the bear. But what's funny is, I don't argue. They like to argue, but I'm the bear. So that's sort of a cute name anyway. I don't mind being called the bear. I think that fits a little bit. I got a little bit of flack about having a false sense of compassion. And I had a guy write me about it, and he did a better job explaining it than I did. He wasn't trying to teach it, he was just telling me how he was trapped in it. So DW writes me, this was about awaking to the dream from November retreat. I get caught up in the compassionate endeavors of the world out there, and it's very difficult. I constantly get drawn back in and out, going from a state of evil and good, back and forth, up and down, like a bloody yo-yo. And this was my response to him. We are not talking about ignoring others, but we are talking about ignoring others' version of the world. There is no duty towards any attempt to upgrade the illusion. It is all about being, it's not about being selfish, because he was thinking he was being selfish. He said, it's not about being selfish. It is instead about sharing a love that is beyond this world, which helps bring others into a feeling of peace and joy, instead of embracing the belief in death and fear. No one has ever died, but no human being has ever seen eternity and lived. Because what happens when you really see who you are? The idea that you have of yourself dies. That's what I mean by saying nobody who's ever seen eternity lives. You've got to let go of the concept you've got of yourself to understand eternity. Until we step out of the world, we never begin to know what life and peace is about. We never understand what bliss is. D.W. just said it brings us back to where we begin offering up sacrifices to the tree of good and evil. And as a result, we die to the reality that surrounds us. He also stated, while lending his ear to compassion for the world, he was drawn back into the illusion of good and evil. And this is why I said last time that during the November retreats that compassion is one of the biggest slayers of you. We have compassion for the world, we get trapped back into the world of good and evil. Why don't we share truth with people? Why don't we share something that sets them free? And if all the people were free, like we should be, then there wouldn't be any complaining. So why don't you just bring it in and make it small, okay? Let's just draw it in. Let's just start with our own little farm or our own little home or our own little place that we've got and not go outside that world that's objective. You're just hearing news about all that stuff. Why can't we just stay within our lane and be someone who shares peace and joy with somebody instead of complaining about what's wrong with Monsanto? Okay, and I'm not picking on you, Rex. It was just a good example. It just happened to come up. But I could pick one, you know, or somebody could pick one. It could be anybody.
Jackson, the roads in Michigan, our famous new governor who's going to fix them and raise our taxes 45 cents a gallon.
If that's what you want, enjoy your hell is what I'm saying. You know, go ahead. I'm not going there with you. Karma is believing that we're punished for our actions, much like the Old Testament law. Does anybody not understand what karma is? Actually, I feel it's much worse. Now, at least when I was growing up in the United Brethren, we were always taught forgiveness. We were always taught confession. We were always taught, you know, walking down the aisle at Vacation Bible School. Now, we believed you could lose your salvation, so I usually walked down every year just to make sure, you know, because I was afraid of hell. So I just would, that's just what would happen. They'd get me feeling guilty after a whole damn week. You know, and I just think, well, I don't know if it worked last time because I didn't really change much from one year to the next, you know. Seemed to get progressively worse. So I kept walking down the aisle. I remember one sitting on my daddy's lap just weeping and crying. We had the Pentecostals would come to our campgrounds that I grew up in, which United Brethren campgrounds, and they were crazy people. At least that's what I thought, because they were hooting and hollering and barking like dogs and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. And as a kid, I thought, wow, what's going on down there? And Mom would say, well, the devil's getting thrown out and there's all kinds of stuff going on, and it scared me. So I remember it getting to me. I was sitting on my dad's lap just crying and weeping. Daddy, I don't want to go to hell. You know, what do I do? And he walked me through the sinner's prayer again, you know, and that one felt good, right? That one felt like that one stuck, because I mean, I was really sincere. It wasn't as passive as Vacation Bible School. But it's an awful way to grow up.
It is.
Awful. Awful way to grow up. To me, karma is 100 times worse than that. And I had someone just post on Facebook, it said, you must be careful. If you don't address the karma in your past life now, it will continue to follow you through your next lives, plural. Well, I'm like the little baby in the crib. I don't have any memory of when before I was 5 years old. So it's like, what the F did I do? You know, original sin? You've seen that one? They've been putting that on Facebook, you know. It's got the little baby, you know, with its nose curled. Original sin, what's that? What the F's that? I just got here.
Yeah.
You know? But we've been taught that.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's just a little bit unconscionable to think that in our group of friends, that karma is a subject that's acceptable. And I don't run around looking for it. I'm not going around trying to stir up trouble. But before we have the lessons, things always happen and get stirred up with people. And I know that's what I'm supposed to talk about. That's why it happens. So if it gets stirred up, that's why I'm talking about it, okay? So it's not that I'm going after it. It just came up again. There's nothing more condemning for me to say to you, you better be careful about a past life you've had. And if you don't deal with it, you're going to suffer now and many more lifetimes. That didn't sound like good news to me. Does it?
No.
Sounds like awful news. And it sounds hopeless. And this is taught in Hinduism pretty religiously, and in some levels of Buddhism. Now, what I found is that there's some weird versions of Orthodox Christianity that believe in this stuff too, and they teach that Jesus taught it. And anyways, I don't want to get into all those details, but what I do want to say is karma and reincarnation are together. You don't have one without the other. If someone's talking about karma, they believe in reincarnation and vice versa. Now, there's a milder version of it, you know, that we can talk about. But to me, anyone that teaches it is just step back into the hellhole of right and wrong. And it's more complicated than just saying it's judgment. It's a whole system of religious beliefs that just bring damnation and torment. And it all comes back to worshiping the body-mind again. And I remember this one person saying, you know, well, when I was born, a star was born. You know, well, I don't remember anything until I was kindergarten. I don't remember being bored. Do you have a memory of when you were born? I don't remember being born. Now, it sort of feels like a mystery a little bit, to some degree, but when you find out you're not your mind or your body, what a relief that is. What a relief that you're much more than that. You're way beyond that. And that's what we want to, that's why I want to talk about it and address it a little bit. So the other thing is, I don't want you to be fooled by the concept that you come back to live another life so you can master all things. This is the reincarnation karma of the elite. Okay? You're coming back so you can master all things. To me, it's just an arrogant proclamation of control and dominance of the world. And the people I met that believe this stuff are worshiping their grandson's education. They're so proud that he's getting multiple degrees because it's going to help him on the level of reincarnation attain this higher level. And All of them think at some point you escape. You do escape it. But nobody's talked about anyone who's made it, you know, because I don't, you know, if you really goof up on one level, you might have to come back and be that person, you know, a half a dozen times. And I've been in, you know, I hate to say Infinite Way teaches reincarnation. That this was a big thing with Joel Goldsmith. And when they got tied into the Eastern mystics, somehow they picked up on that. And I was an official Infinite Way student for about a year. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a class teaching reincarnation. And I was so excited about all of the other truth that I was learning that I didn't resist it. I went ahead and entertained it for a little while. And after a couple weeks, I come out one day out of one of the meetings and just shook my head and walked away and said, this is crazy. And I left the group. It's what caused me to leave the group. Yeah, she was excited about that. Anyway, there's a lot of people out there that are struggling with this that have contacted me, and I know some of them are listening because they told me they'd be listening in on it. And so we want to give you some answers about it. The Christian ego exalts the cross of Jesus in order to save its life and merge with God. The Jewish ego exalts the law in order to save his life and merge with God. The Hindu ego exalts karma in order to save its life and merge with God. Well, when you find out God's your body, all of it disappears. That's something. It's no longer about trying to merge our ego with some kind of life that brings us in union with God. When you're no longer a body-mind, what are you? Perfection? Because there's nothing to perfect anymore. There's nobody we're trying to work on anymore. There's not a you that we're trying to make better. The you that you really are is eternal and timeless. And I think just understanding that there's no such thing as passing time helps. There's never been a history. It's just your memory. The only reason there's a history and a future is because of the mind. It's invented time. So reincarnation is just a thought about right and wrong. It comes to those that think very highly of themselves. And I'll tell you what, when I look at my track record, just from when I was a young boy till now, I haven't done very well. It's pretty long and detailed. And so I'll go back to Christianity, I guess, if I've got to go back to karma and reincarnation, because I'll never make it. I'm going the wrong way, is all I'm telling you. So that's why I've called it out of the frying pan into the fire. Because, no thanks, okay? People are saying this and being bold about it that aren't teachers. They're just being reckless and sloppy about it. And they don't really know. They don't know if they believe it or not. And that's why I'm addressing it today, because every time it's come up, some people have said they want out of it. And so you might not struggle with this, but there are some others out there that do. And if it comes up, why, we'll have some tools that we can help them with. Robert Adams was, do any of you try to follow him or study any of his stuff at all? Robert Adams, nobody? Okay. All right. Robert dealt with this the best way that I've ever seen. And he said, I'm quoting him, there are no samskaras. And that's a Sanskrit word for meaning rites of purification. Because this is where it all started. There are no rituals or rites of purification to overcome because they never existed. There's no karma to overcome because it doesn't exist. But for those immature students, now he's addressing it because it's because they're in the East teaching. For those immature students, they have to work on something. They need a job, he says. So we explain to them that there's karma, that there's a rite of purification. There are latent tendencies that have got a hold of you, and you have to transcend them. Well, until you transcend them, you haven't escaped them. Yep. And so, karma only exists for those that believe it exists. If you believe karma exists, it exists. It's the same exact thing and the same exact type of feeling as when I believed that there was a real living devil that was omnipresent. Your mind is feeding the illusion. I mean, why do we call it a dream? Why are we calling it a dream? Because we're believing it. We're in it and we think it's real. And we're dreaming. We're dreaming about this little 3 score and 10 life and somehow think it has something to do with eternity. So if you believe in karma, keep believing in it because you get all you can handle. It's a never-ending cycle. And as long as you're reacting to conditions and events in your life like it means something, you'll be in fear. Do you know that feeling? I mean, we were sitting over at Tony and Martha's, and Diane and I show up for a couple weeks, and all of a sudden they started having trouble with the internet, and the power was going out, and I remember Martha running around, why is this happening? Like, what are we doing? You know? And there was no, but nothing was behind it. Nobody was sitting down the road with some kind of spark thing trying to short the power out. Nobody was down trying to goof up the internet. You know? And we'll say it's a coincidence, but the thing is, there's nobody scheming somewhere watching you. Does everybody here believe that? Great, we're getting somewhere. Nobody's watching you and thinks you're somebody special that he's going to fry your ass or reward you if you do it right. Okay? None of that's going on out there. This is all coming from the mind. Well, karma and reincarnation is no different at all. That's all I'm saying. It's just a different version of this. There is no difference at all. It's a reward and punishment system based on your behavior. So as long as you're reacting to conditions and events in your life like they mean something, you'll be in fear. Once you're done with it all disappears just as fast as it appears. So what does that say to you? All karma is of the mind. It's not any more real than the mirage in the middle of the desert. So we must undo ourselves. It all comes back to what's the key answer to this weekend. Can there be any karma if you're not your body? Now, when we say you're not your body, what are we talking about? The eternal you. You're the eternal you. Well, what is that? Well, it isn't a body. Jesus ain't coming back to raise all the dust out of them old broken down caskets in the cemetery, guys.
Yeah, yay.
Okay, I'm just telling you, it's just all going to get dirtier and dustier, just like it has been for thousands of years. Okay, I'm just telling you, it ain't happening. That's the only reason we got cemeteries, because we live in an evangelical community. Over in India, most everybody's cremated. Well, guess what? It's saving them a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Space.
Yeah. They haven't got room for all these cemeteries anyway. We were in this beautiful, beautiful, famous cemetery in Argentina.
Recoleta.
It was all mausoleums. There were no headstones. Everyone had a mausoleum. A huge, huge Catholic influence. Where what? What are they doing, guys? Worshipping the body.
Oh, yeah. And there was bodies. There was caskets where you could look at.
We could see the caskets.
Glass.
Yeah, we saw the caskets.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Ibiza was there.
Right? Yeah. Whatever's going on with you, okay? There's a lot of people listening that are struggling with health issues today. The best news you could ever get is you're not your body. That's the most wonderful news you could ever hear. You're not your body. Without a body, what can reincarnate?
Nothing.
And we're not, we're talking about living a life, a little short span of life, and then you go into a chamber, okay? I'm going to explain the science of it to you. Everybody gets herded in this chamber like cattle. And you get to pick your next parents. Okay? I like these. These guys are sexy, man. Look at them going at it. I want to be that sperm right there, okay? I mean, I could be exaggerating a little bit on that part. Okay? But I mean, that my mom, that's I want that mom because she is sexy, okay? I want to come out of that vagina right there, okay? Give me that one.
A little too much detail.
Huh? But it's true. It's true. That's how crazy this gets.
That's why I don't need to go through it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That part sounds like a little fun, but the thing is, I'm not even conscious of it. Dang. You know? I'd want to be awake and fully alert with that, wouldn't you? Oh, boy. You have to forgive me. I think I'm getting your attention, though.
Man, you're wild. I was going to say, our conversation earlier was not.
So now here's all the religions of the East believe in karma to some level, okay? Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism are the three main ones. But just like with Christianity, there are mystics that's come out. I've read some good books from some Catholics that were priests that's come out of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. See, so there's these mystics in the East, which Robert Adams was one of. He studied under the mystics. And they came out of this religion. And that's why Robert is saying it only exists if you believe in it. And where is this realm at? It's all in the dream world still. All of that's still the illusion of death and life, of a limited lifespan. So you're going to have, we'll say, 1,000 different lifespans, right? And hopefully you progress to somewhere where you come back next time as a king. Maybe you're King David and you've got, 300 wives and 600 concubines, okay? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, wouldn't you like to try that?
That's a lot of vaginas.
Exactly.
Huh?
Out of the frying pan into the fire. I say let's go back to church. That's what I'm saying. Okay? Might as well go back to church. I think we've got more of a chance, maybe, with that version than this one. Because, I mean, after 1,000 lifetimes, I'll never escape the vagina, okay? I'm never going to escape that part of it, all right? So I'm going to want to get back to that room so I can pick my next one out. I'm going to work on that, you know?
There
you go.
It'd be awful. Then it would put the responsibility on us to choose. Who would want that?
It's hoo-ha.
That's what my daughter calls it.
So now here's a student of Robert Adams that brings this up. And he says, surely karma comes into question concerning the amount of suffering that anybody experiences. And Robert says, karma only holds you if you believe in it. It is your own thoughts on the matter that give it any power over you. And it is these thoughts that keep you in bondage to the idea. Karma is the law of right and wrong. It is the commandments over the ego. It is no different than believing we are still under the law of Moses. Now here's Robert Adams saying the same thing I just told you. As long as you believe that your good and bad actions will have cause and effect, then how will it be for all the time that you believe it? As long as you live in a world of abstract thinking, you will be blown around in the world of perceived opposites. But you must remember that it's all fed by your own imagination. Mm-hmm. All of it. Now, I've heard stories. People have told stories. Some of the people we were talking about at lunch have heard stories. You know, and they're all just stories. I'm not following somebody else's story, guys. I don't care what it is. I'm not following that. Because there's all kinds of ways to prop up just about anything in this dream world. Yep. And that's what, as soon as you believe you're a body and a mind marching across this earth from birth to death, you're living in a dream. That's what the whole point of the weekend's about. That's why this is so important to understand this. That's why I was so glad when we finally quit believing in the devil. I couldn't believe how quick he was gone. Mm-hmm. Once I just quit believing in him.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to go down outside and screw my shutters down. I mean, there's some nights it got, you hear that wind howling now? It's got to be the devil. Don't you hear it? He's up there circling around the chimney right now. I mean, this is how bad it got with that devil story. I remember going down to Fuddruckers on my own and ordered a hamburger. And I'm out there, you go in, and Fuddruckers sort of like Red Robin. They're as good or better, except you go up and you make your own. They got this huge salad bar. Anybody ever ate at Fuddruckers? Yeah, they're not. There's one in the airport, which is weird. We got one out in the Terminal B in our airport at DTW, but I haven't seen them, Fuddrucker, in Michigan anywhere. But anyways, they're all over everywhere else. We saw them out in Denver. So I'm going in, order my hamburger, and then I go to the salad bar, and so he says, hamburger for Mike. Well, I go, that was fast. Because I just walked out of the line. Well, there was two Mikes. Well, I realized that when I went up, I saw this must have been another Mike. You know what I did? I stole his hamburger.
Stinker.
I blamed it all on the devil.
He made you do
it. It's all the devil. You should have had to go back and get, they had to put hands on me that night and cast this burger stealing demon out of me, and you name it, I'm telling you. It was a big, remember how big a deal that was? Yeah. Pigs in the parlor, baby. He's out stealing hamburgers. Now, the other Mike got his hamburger. He just had to wait a few minutes longer. My devil wasn't ready to wait. He wanted beef now. Where's the beef? It's a quote somebody had said about it. This was from Phyllis. She said, only the mind is what has a need to be held in the judgment and critique of karma. Love knows no such thing. And why would love, divine one, with no beginning and end or knowledge of time, good or evil, need to come back as something or someone else to do better? I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was Phyllis Gutersberg. She said that. Reincarnation isn't true, but because while it's true that the spirit of what you are has never been born and can never die, we must move higher than this type of primitive understanding. Why do I call it primitive? Because we're not understanding that there's no such thing as passing time. How could there be many lifetimes when there's just life that's eternal and never ends? There can't be cycles to it. That's the thing we don't understand. This is all just coming from our perception of what life is here. We're just saying there's a whole bunch of these that you're experiencing right now. And what I'm telling you and what Billy Finger said and what I've seen is that it's way, way bigger than this. We're thinking way too small. We've got our tiny little pea brains thinking way too small. Okay? Knowing that you're eternal and that you never had a beginning or end means just that. Well, how do we know that? We've never experienced it yet. Nobody knows what that is here. We don't know what that is. So to me, it's a no comment area. We just don't know what that feels like. We got a little glimpse of it reading Billy's book, you know, and I thought it was beautiful. I never thought I could read something about it that was so beautiful. But the first thing he said was, he sort of said, everybody's sort of nuts about this life thing on Earth. They're taking it all way too serious. Now, Billy was a drug addict his whole life, in and out of rehab centers. Young stud, okay, had got put into a hospital because he OD'd and went nuts on him, tore out of the emergency room and ran out in the street and got run over by a car and killed him deader than a doornail. That was his life, a young life that apparently ended too soon. And the first thing he said when we got on the other side was, everybody takes life too seriously. And he was explaining experiences he was having that was beyond this world, that sounded wonderful. And I'm sure you wouldn't know what they were. You know, I mean, you can't even explain it with words. Just to get a glimpse of it, you have to get the book. It's called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. And I was, a friend of mine in Australia had mentioned it and quoted out of it, and it was just beautiful. The quote he got out of, I thought, wow, what is that? You know, I want to read that. And it won't take you very long. You can get it done in probably a couple days, you know, if you want to just sit down and read it. But anyway, I was amazed at how beautiful it all was. There wasn't any talk of karma, wasn't any talk of reincarnation. It was just how beautiful it all was. And other. Well, your most beautiful moment you've ever experienced in your life usually has had no time attached to it. You just have so much fun, you say, wow, the times just flow by. It's because there is no such thing. Time doesn't fly by. There is no such thing but passing time. Karma has to have passing time to be real. Karma's got to have a history to judge you. So seeing that we are timeless, there's not a path to tread or a debt to pay, because timelessness sees no right or wrong. It never recognizes judgment or guilt. A love begins to be felt that is absolutely unconditional. A love just watches with clarity and delight. This is my home, and it's already what I am. And that's what Phyllis was sharing. You are that eternal light and love that's unconditional. There's no rules. You can believe that for yourself, but you won't let the other more poor guy off the hook. That's how arrogant we are with our judgment. Yeah, I can sort of see that maybe God should have forgiven me and let me off the hook, and I should be set free. I should get out of jail free. Yeah, because I've done some good things. I haven't been a real bad egg. But boy, we won't let somebody else go then, right? Unless we just forgot, you know, somewhere along the line, that nobody's going to make it if that's the rules, okay? That's what I'm saying. We either it doesn't exist at all, or we're all screwed. One of the two. So once we get out of the concept of the body of mind, we find that the illusion of the journey in time disappears. Well, there's no more rules. If you're not a body and a mind, there isn't more rules. You don't have control over anything. This is all part of the illusion. This is all part of the dream. If we think we've got control over everything, we're just talking about the dream. When the concept of the body of mind is dropped, there's no longer any process of perfection that needs to take place. Isn't that good news? Huh? Really? That feels good to me. I like that idea. It's easy for me to look at her and see perfection because I love her. But I have a hard time doing it with my brother. I've got a little brother that just has tormented me my whole life. And you want to know how I deal with him? I know some point in my life I've done the same thing he has. Yeah. Now, I'm still not stuck in it like he is today, but I have to keep looking back at that and saying I'm not innocent. If I'm even going to go there, I don't go there anymore. I mean, we don't hang out. It's like Dean said, you can love a biting dog, but you don't have to pet it. Right. So we're not like hanging out, but I'm not running around grinding my teeth like I used to because of the stuff that he's done. And he just kept doing the same things. After a while, the wound gets sort of raw, you know, when it keep poking the knife in the same thing, doing the same thing. Here are the guys, 54 years old, you know, still doing the same things he did when he was 15 years old. And you go, geez, can you really keep doing that kind of stuff, you know? And is it okay? Well, in this realm, in the dream realm, no, it's not okay. But I don't want to live there anymore. I don't want to live there anymore. It's not any fun. So guess what? I got to just walk away from it all. The whole thing. The only reason I'm talking about it is to share the example. There's no animosity in this body or mind or heart anywhere against my brother. I love him. There's no, absolutely no animosity. He doesn't owe me a thing. And guess what? All of the debt and all the torment of it goes with that kind of conclusion. It's all gone. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to go jump in bed together again, right? It's the same with this world. You can keep hammering something all you want, right? About what's wrong or right. It doesn't mean we're going to go and abuse something because of what we know. To me, it's just the opposite. I don't want to go there anymore. So I just go a different road now. I go the road of understanding righteous judgment. And that's realizing nothing's out of order. Well, there's no choices to make. Nothing's out of order. Spontaneous life's running the show. And nobody's making a decision. We can't trust that because we want to play God. We want to control things. That's why. How could nothing be out of order if you've got to control something? There's nothing to control. And that's what all this reincarnation and karma is all about, is just control. Well, we control the outcome, and we've got a say in what's going on. In the dream, yes, it's true. And believe me, the dream's big, and it appears real. It appears very, very real. And what I'm saying is, there's a way out, but it's something that you don't see very often. And I'm just showing you my way out and how much peace it's brought into my life, how it's affected me, and I love that experience. I love the experience of not running around being pissed off all the time. Because that's the way it used to be. My mind would just go from, once I get a real relief in one area, then there'd be something else that come up that I'm upset about. It was just always something, just something, you know. Well, this isn't going quite right, so now the mind runs over to this area. And then you get a little comfortable with something and it moves over to that area. Well, you're never going to escape this reincarnation thing or this karma thing. You'll never escape it as long as you believe any of it. There's no way out. Really, the truth of the reality of what helps us deal with this is so simple that we miss it. There is nothing to perfect. There is no one that needs perfection. And if you're not a body and a mind, guess what? There is no one that needs perfection. You don't need to get better. You don't need to get worse. Just enjoy each moment of the way things are as it comes to you. And just be at rest with that. And just shut this thing up. Just get a clothespin. Get one of them bigger ones. It's got a strong spring on it. Just put the shut to the up and try it. Just test yourself. Is there things I'm saying or doing that are not producing joy? Well, then other people are feeling it. Is that really what you want to do? Do you want to spread discontent and complaining to others? Is that really your goal in life? It's not mine. I want to help us come out of it. And it sounds like I'm whining a little bit, but I'm whining about the system. I'm saying there's this system out here that's causing all of us trouble, and we need to come out of it. And how do we come out of it? Realizing, one, you're not a body and a mind. There isn't any navigation that needs to be done anywhere. Everything is taking care of itself. And it's so simple, we miss it. We blow by it with our worries and judgments of the world and simply miss out on life and what is. This is it right here. Right now. It doesn't get any better than this. And I believe that. I mean, I'd love doing this and getting together with you guys more than I do anything, more than I do flying. That's fun, though. That's right up there. Wish I could fit you all in there with me.
Or biking.
Huh?
Or biking.
Biking's good, too.
Yeah. Can't wait for that to happen. Bike over the hill.
Yeah,
so we blow by the simplicity with our worries and judgments of the world and miss out on what is as we are imprisoned by the depression of our expectations. Well, that's what we're doing when we're complaining, is we expect better. We expect more. And it creates depression. Yeah, we haven't seen that. That's a big part of the illusion. Once the light appears, it tramples over a million years of good works. Isn't that something, that all that concept, all that stuff can just be gone by just not believing in it anymore? Just saying to yourself, it's not true. And walk away. Don't talk about it with anybody anymore. And I have a little less patience with it now than I used to, because it keeps rearing its ugly head. So every time it rears its ugly head, I get a little more upset about it and think, you know, is there people listening to me? Because everybody that listens to me knows that I despise that teaching. Just like I despise the teaching of hell. I mean, would we all go sit in a real, real fundamentalist Baptist church and listen to the sermon and get up and sing the hymns now today? Why wouldn't we do that? Well, that's a good answer. So, Robert continues. Once all the separation talk dies along with the sense of self-identity, we can drive the nails in the coffin of the dream of individuality. We are not individuals. We are not separate people. We are all connected. So that's why I don't have any choice but to care about you. I can't help it. It isn't an option. I have no idea why we're here today. I didn't plan it. It just happens. Matter of fact, when we start working up to this, I think I'm saying I'm going to retire. And what's funny, right after I have that thought and I spend a couple days thinking, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. Ollie, what do you have in the next meetings? I can't wait. I want to come to a meeting. I want to listen to a meeting. We've got three families that live close to us that are probably going to start coming. So I'm working on them. We've got somebody in Holt. We've got somebody in Warren. And then somebody who lives down by the Michigan-Indiana border near Elkhart, I think.
I was supposed to tell you guys hi from Lester.
And Lester. Poor Lester, come. He shows up. He'll show up now and then.
Good old Lester.
So now think about all this a little bit and just let's shift it up just a couple notches. We're almost done. But when we escape the dream of individuality, we're free from our limitations of our expectations that we've had all of our life. We've always been told since I've been growing up that there was something more, that God was watching me and He always expected better of me. And I would try for a little bit, but I was just one of them little shyster kids that was always into everything. I just couldn't resist getting into trouble. And it wasn't like I was looking for trouble per se, but all the things I wanted to do, my parents didn't appreciate. Maybe you can define it a different way. So I grew up in this campground where there was like 50 buildings. And I wanted to get each side of them and see if there was cookies in there. That was my first goal when I was really young, because we only got fed three times a day, and it wasn't huge portions. So I was usually running around with a growling stomach. And if I could just get a cookie or two, I'd be happy. Well, when everybody was there during camp, we'd run around and beg for cookies, and we usually got quite a few, because they liked us young little kids, you know. We could usually get a couple cookies off these old timers in their little cabins. Mm-hmm. They were all waiting for tabernacle that night, so they'd go down and sing about Jesus and try to escape hell. That's what it's about, whole summer long, tabernacle every night. Well, we lived there, and I had a mom that never missed church. So guess what? She was down there in church at that tabernacle every night, all summer long. That's what I lived with. That's how religious we were. So we just didn't go. We didn't go just on Sundays. Whew. I got a big dose of it, and you know what was good about it is I quit believing in hell at a pretty young age. I said, "Well, I will never escape. I've been sentenced there so many times they won't let me off the hook ever again." So now here's something that we can.
Did you ever break in and get your cookies?
Oh yeah, all the time. And what was good about it is my dad was the one that always had to repair the windows. So he had to go around and fix the broken glass, you know. And we had to, of course, we lied through our teeth. You know, what happened? The wind was blowing. It flew up off the ground. And our sneakiest episode was when we'd go in and visit the people and try to make sure we unlocked a window or a side door. You know, so when they run the tabernacle, we could sneak back in there and get the cookies. Now, we didn't take money or anything valuable. We were only interested in cookies, okay, or some kind of snack, okay? Isn't that something? Now I'll fly into some place just to get a nice snack. It's never went away, you know? Little pack of peanut butter cookie crackers, you know, those little puppies, you know, those little Ritz crackers? Yeah. Peanut butter, it's my favorite thing to munch on, okay? If you wanted to know, somebody asked what my favorites. Don't go be buying me a bunch of them, okay? Please, Liz? Promise?
She'll make them for you.
Liz, don't buy me no peanut butter crackers. I already eat because they got carbs in them.
Yeah. Stay away from it.
She just don't quit. So let's end this weekend with this note. Always remember deep in your heart that all is well. And everything is unfolding as it should. There are no mistakes anywhere at any time.
There are no mistakes
anywhere at any time. What appears to be wrong in your karmic world is simply your own false imagination, that's all. That's what Robert said. Now, when I heard him say there are no mistakes the first time, I felt free. I felt free. I didn't feel any condemnation anymore. Isn't that a wonderful feeling?
Yeah, the first time you said it.
Huh? There are no mistakes. Well, why can't I let everybody else off the hook? Huh? If you're not going to let others off the hook, you're not going to feel that, okay, is what I'm telling you. It's not your business to judge the world. I don't care about your version of the world. I don't want to hear your world news. I want to hear this. There are no mistakes anywhere at any time. There never have been and there never will be. Now that's freedom, isn't it? And when you find out you're not your body, your mind, now maybe it'll be easy. You don't have to run around judging your body or your mind. If all you can get out of it is, well, you can't believe that because if you kick the cat, you're bad. Well, quit kicking the damn cat then. If that's all it you take, if that's all it takes. But to me, that's just silly. That's just immaturity talking. Does anybody here want to kick their cat? Okay, great. Then we're done, okay? Okay, I'll meet with you afterwards. Thank you, everybody. Bye. We'll see you next time. Bye, Christina and Dana and Linda and Barbara Grippo and
The Dinos
are out there.
From the north, the south, the east, and the west.
Our Nigerian buddies, the Gaffas, Peter Morgan, whoever else is listening, let us know you're listening and I'll say hi to you.
Lester.
Yeah, Lester.
He said to say hello, everybody.